Donna Patton. I'm here with Pastor Josh, and today we are talking about what is truth.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, as we were lining this up, there were so many different directions that we can take, because truth, well, the world says truth is a very subjective thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I can live in my truth, yeah. You live in your truth. There was some things on the news just today about nobody has the right to explain somebody else's truth, right?
Yeah.
So what is your passion about talking about this, Pastor Josh, and why do you believe this is important to our leaders?
So I believe that the challenge, well, there's just a challenge. There's an emptiness when you get into this idea of relative truth, because relative truth, basically, you still build a truth. So relative truth, I believe, is actually truth based on my feelings about something. So I have a sister who used to not like peanut butter. She thought peanut butter was awful. Well, now she became a poor college student, and now she liked peanut butter. And I think she still does today, as they're a little more set up. But like, how often do our feelings change? And so if your truth is based on your feelings, then how's that change? And so my concern for it isn't so much that I think sometimes we can get sucked into that I need everybody else around me to have the same truth as me for my life to be. But I'm actually more concerned about the individual that's living in a place where they don't have a foundation to build their life on. Because if your truth is constantly changing based on your feelings, then where does that leave you?
Yeah, now I'm a very feeling person. I function, yeah. I lead out of my feelings, what mm-hmm. my gut says, what my heart says, what I feel God is saying in that moment.
Yeah.
And are you saying that's bad? That if we are living in our feelings?
No, not at all. I think feelings are a great benefit. But even for you, like I would say, there's times when you have to remind your feelings what's true. Right? That I might not feel, maybe even as big as this, I might not feel God's love right now. Well, what do? You remind yourself that God loves me, right? Like, and that's just the reality of do you have, in the midst of a world where feelings are important, do we have somewhere to come back to tell our feelings what to think?
Yeah. I went through some hard in my life, and my son asked me if I was mad at God.
Mm.
And I said, no, that's not my theology. But I have to hold on to every truth I've ever taught, every truth I've ever learned since I was tiny, and hold on to that about what's true about God. So I see what you're saying. It's not always just living in that feeling space, but embracing the bigger truth of who God really is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. So that we're breaking this into three parts. Why are you so passionate about talking about truth, about grace, and then we're going to mix it together and talk about truth and grace together. Why is this so important for us?
So if you're going to live your life the way that God has called you to, then you got to start from a place of not what do I think or what do I feel or how do I think the world should work, but a place from what God has to say. So if God is the creator of the universe, then he gets to say how it works. It's kind of like I won't let my kids make up board games and invite me to play. Because the problem is when they do that, the rules change as they go. It just doesn't work. So if they're losing, they'll change the rules. And so when we play board games, we play games that were written by someone else that have a set of rules so that we can go back to the rules. Because the rules actually help us enjoy the game more and play with an agreed upon understanding of how things work. And I think generally, like in the world, even though people believe in relative truth, there's some truths that go across the board as true. Like in all countries right now, murder is wrong. Now there's some countries where rulers can get away with it, but there's this belief that murder is wrong. There's this belief that you have to treat children in a certain way. There's a belief in what some form of marriage is, and these things are universal. Why? Because they're wired into the fabric of the world that God created. And so when we as Christians ask what is true, we're not asking what do the majority of people think is true, what do I feel is true, what do I want to be true. I ask what does God say that's true. And that's a foundation that doesn't change.
Okay, and not to give up where we're going with this in part three, but then why does grace, why are you mixing the two together?
Truth and grace?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think without truth, we don't have grace. And without grace, the truth is an impossible standard, right? Like, I can't always live out the truth that God has given me. And so really, but my question is, right, today, when we talk about truth is, what is truth and how do we know what that is? And we only know that ultimately through Jesus Christ and him loving us and inviting us into the family.
All right, so getting back to today, we're just going to kind of camp on that today. What is truth? When this releases, we will be on at the end of September, leaning into October, and with an election coming up. And already we're feeling the heat of that, the recording of this.
Yeah.
And truth is hard right now.
Yeah.
So again, let's break down. You talked a little bit about relative truth. How do we know what absolute truth is?
Yeah, so there's an interesting discussion that Jesus had, and he's actually on trial, right? And Pilate asked him this question that Jesus actually didn't answer, and he asked the same question, what is truth? And the interesting thing in that moment is Jesus says in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if you want to know what truth is, it's the answer is Jesus. And so it's kind of weird that Pilate's asking this question and Jesus doesn't say anything. And I sometimes wonder, like in my mind, Jesus like kind of just like look down at himself. Why? He's like, dude, I'm here, right? I'm truth. I'm what it is. And I think there's some great, I think, grace to that is the way that we know truth isn't just through our knowledge or through what we do or what God says, but it all starts with Jesus. And so the reason that I can dive into the Word of God and ask this question as I read the pages of the Bible, what is truth? The reason I can do that, well, is because Jesus is that truth ultimately. And so through his grace and love, I can then begin to ask that question, what is truth? Not from a place of, I want to expect everybody to follow this so the world looks a certain way, but really so I can ask the question, how do I line up with that? And how do I then lead others into that? And that's really, you know, I think where we have to start when we talk about truth.
So I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Is truth bendable? Because I feel sometimes we want to make truth pliable, right?
Yeah.
Because it can also convict us.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess I would go back to, so if Jesus is truth, you want to bend and shape Jesus to match your reality and what you think and feel. Like, right, is that's kind of the question you're asking, like if we're going to break it down in what you said. I mean, is that right?
Right.
Right, and so I think once you ask it that way, the obvious answer is no. And I think there's a lot of baggage with truth because we've had churches that we could call it kind of like a fundamentalist movement, which has been a movement in the church where the church is about exercising power and dominion to make sure these things never happen in the church, but also in the broader society. And so there's been some times where the church has overextended itself, kind of treating certain sins as the unforgivable sin. So there's been a lot of, and I think a lot of people have been hurt by the church, not just standing up for truth, but by devaluing people because their truth didn't line up.
Now we're getting a little nerdy. So down, when you say the church, you mean Peace with Christ? Do you mean the church abroad? What do you mean?
Yeah, the church as a whole, but I think I'm sure there's been failures in our history too, as we, because we're called to speak God's truth, invite people into God's truth, but not treat someone as less than human because they don't see eye to eye with God's truth.
Okay, so that's when you hear terms like, you're judging me, and why don't you understand cultures change and the world, you know, my culture accepts me, but my church doesn't. So where do you think the church goes wrong there? And where do you think we're called to either reel it back or explain ourselves more?
Yeah, so I think the church is never called to change to accommodate. Like, we're not going to undermine our truth to accommodate. And so somebody walks into peace with Christ that is living a different worldview than us. They're not following God in, let's say, their sexuality. And so they walk in the building, and we say, you're welcome here. You can belong before you believe and behave. We say those things. But what we're not going to do is we're not going to not talk about God's view of sexuality just because they're here. We're going to say, this is what God's truth is. This is what we're supposed to be doing, even though there's a person there that might not agree with us yet.
Okay, so you went there.
Yep.
You went into the deep end. All right. So a follow-up question to that. You just went into, hey, you might be living differently, mm-hmm. but you still belong.
Mm-hmm.
But some churches say, no, you aren't behaving a certain way, so you can't belong.
Yeah.
How does Jesus approach that? So you said that's our litmus test, right?
Yeah. So, and I think some of that's the truth and grace aspect that we'll get into. But so we see there's a woman caught in adultery, right? She's literally caught in adultery. They drag her out in front of Jewish leaders, and Jesus is there, and they want to stone her. Now, that's actually the Old Testament law, what you would do. But Jesus turns around on them, though you who have... are without sin, cast the first stone. Thanks. It's interesting. Like, a lot of times people want to use that story to undermine truth. Well, look at Jesus. He just showed grace. Jesus never said she hadn't messed up. Jesus never said, yep, adultery's fine. You go for it. He never said that. What did he say? He gave grace to that woman. But he gave it without undermining truth, because he told her at the end, he said, go and sin no more. And so I think the expectation of people is that we not only show grace, but then they line up with our truth right away. And in a messy world, people aren't going to line up with our truth right away.
But what you left out is the fact that he doodles in the sand, right?
Yeah.
And we don't know what he wrote, but some of the thoughts are he wrote the names of those men that had slept with her.
Okay.
Or he wrote their sins down, as he says it. So he might have leveled the playing field real quick to say, we all have our baggage. We all have sin. We all fall short.
Yeah, and that's the reality of truth, where we're not going to, and that's why I think that's so valuable to understand that we're not going to say that a sin is okay. If God says it's a sin, we're going to say that it's a sin. But we're also going to understand that, yeah, we all have fallen short. And so the truth, at some level, the truth should show all of us that we're sinful, all of us that we need a Savior. And so I think that's the hard part about truth, is that we are all guilty of it.
So why do we as Christians get into the whole rating of sin, right? Does that make truth, again, more palatable? Like, you know, I didn't kill somebody, but I didn't speak positive of somebody when given the chance.
Yeah.
So, but I can't be like the adulterer that we just talked about in that verse.
Yeah. So in God's eyes, all sins are equal. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Right.
But at the same time, there is a difference in sin in and how it affects the community. And so there's a reality, though, that Jesus says all sins are equal before God, but different sins hurt other people more. So, like, it's wrong to say an unkind word to somebody. It's worse to kill them, right? And that's just in terms of how it affects society. And so there's a reality in that, is that we do have to walk well with other people. And so that is why there's kind of is a ranking of sins, why there is a other sins are worse in the way that they hurt other people. But again, all of that goes back to, there's a little bit of subjectivity to that too, like how something hurts somebody. That bad word could have hurt somebody way more than we'll ever know. But the reality of it is, we have to understand that God gets to set that truth of what's right and wrong. And we're called to follow it the best we can.
And not from a place of judgment.
Yeah.
But like Jesus, a place of love.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the thing where it does get kind of evil and wicked, and how we can use the truth incorrectly. Like, if the truth is ever your value, right? So look at me, I'm so valuable. I follow all God's truth. I believe the right things. I do this and that and the other things. And I'm so much better than those people who aren't following God's truth. So if the truth is your value, then I think you've messed it up. You become a Pharisee. And in fact, we see Jesus go after the Pharisees in their religiosity. He actually goes after them for thinking they're better than the other people. And the reality is, if we study the Bible honestly, they actually are better than most people. They are the good people. But the problem that Jesus has with them is they're finding their value in their ability to follow the truth, not their value in God loving them.
So, and this is why, so now to kind of follow our rabbit trail back, this is why Luther, one of the main pieces that Luther broke away from the church is because of the way truth was being handled by the church leaders, correct? One of the reasons.
Yeah. Yeah, truth isn't something that we get to lord over people as the church to find people's value. Right? Like, your value as a part of Peace with Christ or whatever church you're in, my hope is your value isn't in the things you do, but your value is in Jesus Christ.
All right, so we reel that back to the person that's walking in our church with whatever it is, and to be like Christ is to be more focused on, we're going to love you.
Yeah.
We're going to love you first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to reel that back even more to the elections and everything that's happening, instead of taking what we believe is truth and really putting it down somebody, you know, it's how can I love you where you're at? It doesn't mean I have to accept your view or your truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's standing as Christ stands with people.
Yeah, I think we get the blessing of being able to invite people into God's truth, right? Like, because I think there is, again, if we're going to play the game right of this world, back to that board game analogy, if we're going to play the game of this world right, then how we invite people into God's truth is valuable. How you challenge me as a fellow brother and sister in Christ to follow God's truth more clearly and boldly is a good thing. So I think we can have truth and not judge somebody based on if they're following or not, but still invite them to follow God's truth. So the value of you as a longtime member of Peace with Christ, you as a brand new person of Peace with Christ, the value of somebody right off the street, their value is the fact that Jesus loves them. That's what Jesus says, that I am truth. But yet we get to invite them deeper and richer into following God's truth. I can always learn more about God's truth. I can always be better at following God's truth, but I'll never be good enough to find my value in following the truth.
And if we look back to that, if we're following God's truth and we see that he is the way, that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, then I look at his commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
And that puts me in a whole different place. I'm not playing offense or defense.
Yeah.
I'm playing offense for the kingdom.
Yeah.
I'm loving people to Jesus.
Yeah.
Instead of pointing out how we're different and you're wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of times some of the hypocrisy or judgmentalism in the church comes from a good place. It wants to be that we're this group of Christians following Jesus together. But I think we got to reel it back and remember, let's lead people into where we want them to be, not judge them when they miss the mark, because we've all missed the mark.
Which is a great lead in to our next episode, where we're going to talk about that grace and how it can really be a healing and a loving and also a hard place to live in itself.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you in our next episode.